I'm very glad and very grateful, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to stand before you to preach a portion of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Sometimes when people listen to me, they think their portion is overflowing a little bit, but I aim to keep in line with the time limits that I'm given, and I'm told that about 10:40 is the time that I'm to stop today. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, 10:40. Now, I hate to tell you this, but there's a little glare back there, so if I don't see it right on the money, I want somebody to stand up and holler, and I'll stop. But seriously, I'm looking forward to being able to be here today with you and understand that I've got several times to speak, and so if I don't get it done by 10:40, well, I hope in some of the other time segments that are allotted to me that I'll be able to do a little bit and be able to teach us all from the Book of God. Now, whoops. I didn't turn it on, did I? Nobody said so either. I just remembered. I tell you, folks, you've got to watch me. You've got to watch me. Oh, boy. Okay. I knew it. I don't have one of these newfangled devices at home where I preach. And so you can tell me. You can do anything. But when I get up here, I'm oblivious to what I'm supposed to do except to preach. Anyway, open your book to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, we got a long way to go and a short time to cover, but we just want to talk for a few minutes from the book of Luke. And we've been introduced already in the book of Luke to the birth of John the Baptist, to the announcement of his coming. And now we have another situation, a delicate situation, and a kind of scary situation for one person. Luke chapter 1. Now, the reason that Luke is writing in the first four verses, he tells us. He says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, now look, there's been a whole lot of folks that's been writing about the stuff that's been going on around here. And so he said, and things that we all believe, most certainly believe. And they delivered to us, and they were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And he said, you know, it seemed to me, verse 3, since I had an inside knowledge, I mean, I knew what was going on, and I knew it certainly. And so he said, it seemed good to me also, verse 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Nobody knows who Theophilus was, but he was a man of some standing and some reputation among the people, as is indicated here. And so that's what the book says and what he says. And so he said, I know some of these things, and I know them very intently, and I know them very correctly. And so since a lot of folks have been writing about them, I want you to know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now that's important in Luke chapter 1 and verse 4, that you might know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now that's very important, ladies and gentlemen, in every aspect of our teaching and our Bible learning. Know the certitude of it. That's the thing. I want to know the certainty of what I'm being taught, what I'm being told. You know, you can't do that in all churches and in all denominations around the world. You can't know the certitude of anything. You know, you can go to one congregation and you can learn that when you believe in the Lord, you're saved at that minute, that instant, and you can't ever fall from grace. You just can't fall from grace. Even if you want to, you can't. You're saved forever. Well, you go to a Methodist church and they won't tell you that. No, they don't tell you that. They won't tell you that you know, once you're saved, why, you're forever saved. There's a chance you could fall away. There's no certitude. See that? And Luke says, I want to tell you something. And what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you that to know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. You know that? The things wherein thou hast been instructed. What you're being taught, I'm going to tell you things about the, and with certainty. You can know the certitude of it. Now that's a good point to keep in mind. That is true throughout the world and in religion. You know, we talk about the organization of the church. Well, what organization? We don't know about organization. Well, don't all groups and companies and organizations and arrangements, political, you know, educational, don't they have the organizational entities, governors, mayors, different ones, superintendents? Yes, there's all forms of that. Well, what do we have in Catholicism? Well, you have a pope, and you have archbishops and priests and certain things like that. Well, what about the Bible? What about the church in the book of God? All of those things. Where's the certitude of what we know? What's the extent of the authority and the governorship of any arrangement, of any company? Who's the head of the company you work for? Who's the overseer? Who's the director? Who's the manager? Who's the mayor of the city? All sorts of things like that. Well, Luke says, what I'm going to write you about, I'm going to let you know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, how did all this business get started in Luke chapter 1? Well, we're introduced that John the Baptist is to be born, and we are going to overlook that introduction. But in Luke chapter 1, I want you to notice that something eventful happens here, starting about verse 26, Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now notice the definiteness of that. He's given the essential points. This is a certain feature of it. An angel was sent, Gabriel, and it was sent into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So you see, you know it's in Galilee, the segment called Galilee, and it's in Nazareth. You know it's in Kentucky, and it's a city called Caneyville, see? And so we got it directly. And the angel came to this virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Again, particulars are given, directly stated. And so you can identify who these people are, who these folks are. A virgin, a maiden lady. Now, I want you to understand, some people argue about the virgin business and the word virgin and what does it mean and all of that. Well, you know, it didn't used to be a problem, even in our country. Did you know when a man said, now, I got two married daughters, but I got two daughters that are married, and then I got my maiden daughters, I want to introduce you to my maiden daughter. What did that mean? That meant, essentially, she's a virgin. That's the way it's understood. Well, this word does mean virgin. There's arguments about that, but that's the truth. This word means a virgin. But you see, that used to be the understanding. It's not now the understanding. You can't say because a girl is not married that she's a virgin. But that was the meaning of the terms. And even in my family and other families in this region, this area, and in this country, that's the way you use the word. Got two married daughters and this lady, and my maiden daughter's over here. You knew what they meant by that. You knew what they meant. Well, Luke says, I want to write and tell you about this. Here's the situation. And there's this lady, she's engaged. We'd say she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. Well, what's their lineage? Well, the Haithley family. Or the family you're in. See? And so that's the lineage she's in. And so the angel came and spoke to her. And he said to her in verse 28, the angel said, hail or greetings to you, Mary. You're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Oh my. That's a startling statement. And when she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's frightened. She's scared. What do you mean? What are you saying? What does this imply? What is this going to mean for me? And so she was troubled, verse 29. You say, well, Larry, how do you know that? I know it because of verse 30, and so do you. What does verse 30 say? And the angel said unto her, now fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary. You see, he knew, the angel knew, she was bound to be troubled by this. Now here I am. Well, who is she? She's been thinking, she's going to think about this. Here I am, a lady. I'm not married. Never been with any man. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. For behold, thou shalt conceive, verse 31, in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. What? Bring forth a what? A son? I mean, back at that time, and even in my lifetime, you didn't know what the baby was, so it was born. Didn't know. When my boys were born, We had a boy first. And then my wife had been blessed to have a sister 2 years older than she, and she was happy. They were happy that Marilyn was born then, 20 months apart, 2 years apart. Well, in my family, I was born first, and then my folks were hoping for another boy. And so it was. In my own family, my boy was born, and then, about 20 months later, because of the relationship in each of our family, we hoped for another boy. We didn't know what we were going to have. And so when I heard the announcement, and the doctor came out for the birth of my second child, and he came out and he said, "Congratulations, Mr. Haefeli, you got another boy." And I said, "Oh, doctor, are you sure?" My words, exactly. Well, that kind of embarrassed me, but at any rate, he said, I've been taking babies from their mothers for 20 years, and I've never called one wrong yet, okay? So that gave me some comfort about that. Well, at any rate, this was troubling to Mary. You see, all of these startling and astounding things are being said to her, and she's a young lady. And I'm not technically not married officially, and all of a sudden, she was troubled. See? I'm stumbling around here verbally because trying to imitate her thoughts in her mind. Oh my, what does this mean? What's it mean for me? Now Mary, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a little boy. You're going to call his name Jesus. Verse 32. What's he going to be, a bum or a beggar? He shall be great and shall be called, verse 32, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Oh my. We're talking about all of the nation and everything that's been said about it biblically. You hear her stumbling around? Yeah. That's what she's doing. My. And well, let's finish the statement. The angel said, "Now look, you're going to be the mama of this boy, Jesus. And he's going to be called great and the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." My. This is all of the spiritual things that we now know and enjoy and appreciate. The Lord Jesus, heaven, the kingdom of heaven, going to heaven, being saved eternally. This is the fruition of all the promises, all the purposes of the Old Testament and all the Old Testament prophets and all the Old Testament promises. This is the beginning of all of that, Mary. And you're going to be the mother of that child. Oh, my. And then Mary said, "Well, verse 34. I appreciate, you know, it's good to know that. But verse 34, how shall this be? I've never been with any man sexually." Now she doesn't say that directly, but that's what she means. How can all this be? In other words, I am a maiden. I am a virgin. I've never been with any man. The angel said, "Now listen, Mary, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee," verse 35, "and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Directly, plainly, clearly, all of these things, Miss Mary, that's what's going to happen to you. Well, imagine if you'd received such news. And there's something else she doesn't know. Matter of fact, you know your cousin Elizabeth? And I wonder if she nodded. "Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age, and 6 months with him, and she was called barren." That was a nickname for her. She'd never had any children. And they were old people, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They couldn't have any babies anymore. And the angel said, "Now look, I know that the fact that that's impossible. But you know, with God, all things are possible." And verse 38, I want you to listen to this. "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want you to underline these words with the index finger. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me, underline this, be it unto me according to thy word. Now folks, that's what you need in any kind of faith, any kind of congregation, any kind of belief, any kind of attitude about hearing the word of God. That is, let it be according to thy word. That's the thing you always must remember. That everything has to be according to God's book. That was the philosophy. That's what she had to know. Now, let me show you something right like that. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. The same sentiment. The same thought. Get that, let it seep and sink deep into your heart. According to thy word. Luke chapter 5. There was this event he tells about. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the Sea of Galilee, the Lake Gennesaret, same thing, the Sea of Galilee. And two ships, note the details, two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were cleaning their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would ask him, you know, say, hey, would you thrust out a little bit from the land? And he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. It was a big crowd, obviously. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a big catch, a big haul of fish. Now, first of all, folks, this is the wrong time. You're supposed to catch fish, that lake, as we now know, you're supposed to catch them at night. And that's what they'd been out doing the night before. They'd been trying to catch fish. Now, Jesus says, here it's the middle of the day, and he says, Simon, I want you to push out away into the middle of this lake here. Go out in the middle of it. And let down your nets, and you're going to catch a whole mess of fish. That's what we talk about when we go fishing, isn't it? A mess of fish. Yeah, kind of like, okay. So we're going to catch a whole mess of fish. Well, you know what? Peter is the fisherman here. Who's Jesus? He's an itinerant preacher. You know? Nice guy. And is kind of knowledgeable. But Peter is the professional fisherman. Hey! And here's the guy usurping his place. And Simon hears that command, launch out into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets for a draught, for a whole bunch of fish. And Simon answering said, Master, verse 5, we have toiled all night long. Good night. We've been up and bitten. We're trying to get things ready for another night of fishing. And we hadn't caught a thing. Hadn't caught a thing. And you're telling us to do that? You know what? About that time, he caught himself. See the word in Luke 5 and verse 5? Nevertheless. Nevertheless, get this. At thy word, I will let down the net. Now you remember that, and if you make notes in your book, I want you to think back to Luke 1:38. What did Mother Mary say? Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. In Luke 5 and verse 5, Peter said, I'm a professional fisherman. I've been doing this for years, and we fished all night. We didn't catch a fish at all. And yet you tell us to launch out into the deep. Well, you're supposed to catch the fish. You catch the fish near the shore, not out in the deep. I know that. But then he said, oh, at thy word, I will let down the net. Underline that with your index finger. At thy word, I will. Okay? At thy word, I will. And note Luke 1:38, where Mary said essentially the same thing. Now, folks, that's what you have to know as you learn the book of God and as you consider, well, we're here today, we're visiting today, or I'm not a Christian today, whatever your lot in life might be. And you have to say, well, I'm listening to you today. I'm visiting here today. I've been coming here for a while. I'm not certain about anything. I don't know what you all believe. Let me tell you what. You believe what this book says. You believe what the Lord says. At thy word, I will. So whatever the subject is, at the word of God, that's what you determine you're going to do. Now let me show you something else. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, in this section, there's a guy, he's a very knowledgeable man. He's an apostle. And he knows the truth. And he has been a Jew all of his life. And a great Jew. He's a great Jewish man. In fact, Philippians chapter 3, hold your Romans 4 there. If you want to flip to Philippians 3 with me, please do. Philippians chapter 3. And Paul said, look, he said, we are the circumcision. I'm in Philippians 3 and verse 3. And you're holding Romans 4 open, okay? Good. In Philippians 3, Paul said, look, we are the circumcision. Christians are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But wait a minute. I'm a Jewish man. I know what the truth is. I'm a Jew, a true blue Jew. Well, Paul said, you know what? If anybody thinks he has any confidence in anything, I have more. Verse 4. If any man thinks that he might have trust in the flesh, I have more trust. He said, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Right down the line. If anybody thinks he can trust in the Jewish religion, I can trust more. I have more credentials than anybody. And then he outlines the fact that that's true of him. And that's what he knows for certain. But he's that kind of person, that kind of individual. Now, in Romans chapter 4, that same apostle is writing. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, he's speaking of Abraham. And he is the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Now, the father Abraham, this is where God started it all, with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And so the Lord Jesus is here being proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. And then let's slip on down and notice verse 17. It had been told to Abraham, and it had been written, a father of many nations, Romans 4:17, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth, makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God says the things about things that are not yet. He speaks of them in reality. Well, what did Abraham believe? What did Abraham hear and believe? Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now there's what I want you to connect. What had Mary said? What did Mary say? You know, be it unto me according to thy word. Huh? And what did Peter in the fishing boat say? What did he say? He said, nevertheless, I know it's stupid. I know I'm the professional fisherman. And I know you're just an itinerant preacher. And I know I can't catch any fish near the shore here. And I know the middle of the day is the wrong time. And the middle of the ocean is the wrong place. But at your word, I will. We're faced with that kind of situation here in Abraham. Same deal. That's kind of the same situation. At thy word, I will. And so in Romans 8 and verse 18, that's the deal. That's the clincher. And so Abraham, verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, that is, biologically, when he was yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. No woman is that old going to have a baby. We know that. And Abraham and Sarah knew that. But you know what, verse 20? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now get this. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What God said he was able to do, he was going to do. And it was going to happen. And so the Bible says, that's what you need to think. That's how you need to think. Now think about your life. Think about your faith. Think about where you are in today. You're here on a Sunday morning. It's comfortable. It's nice. And you're a Christian. How are you on Monday afternoon? How are you Tuesday morning? How are you thinking on Thursdays? When you're all excited about the weekend coming up, what are you thinking of? What are you established in? Where is your faith? Trouble in your family? Your children not what they ought to be? Some of them drifting? Some of them unaccountable? Where's your faith right now? Think about this. Let the Lord be your teacher. At thy word I will let down the net. Be it unto me according to thy word. What the will of God is, that's what I want. And that's what I'm going to do. And folks, if you will look at that attitude, have that attitude and that disposition, you won't fail in life. Otherwise, you have no hope at all. I want you to notice this. From Psalm 1, Psalm the first chapter. Psalm the first chapter. And it's a short little chapter. Psalm 1, the first six verses. You know what it says? Blessed is the man, I'm talking to you now, the psalmist is. He's talking to Larry Haefeli right now. Blessed is the man, are you that man or that woman, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I want you to notice the verbs here. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, you're going along and you're associating with people. You're walking with them. And then, as you get more conversational, more friendly, deeper into the talk, then you stand in the way of sinners. You know, you're walking with some people and some things come up. You go, oh, well, then you stand and talk about it. And then you know what you do next? You sit down with them. There's an attraction there. Whether it's romantic, whether it's business interest, whether it's a social affair, hey, that's what you do. Do you find, you understand what I'm saying? Walk, stand, sit. That's a progression of evil too. And so blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the purposes of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, of the mockers. See? That man is blessed. Where do you walk? Who do you stand with? Who do you sit with? Just asking. But in contrast to that, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now wait a minute. You don't mean, Larry, that I got to be like a preacher. And I got to have just all God and all that stuff all over me all the time. Well, yes and no. Yes, you've got a life to live. And you've got things to figure out in this world and things you have to live in this world. You've got a family you have to direct. You've got a company or a business that you have to run or be involved in. And you have thoughts and concerns about all of that. And so you do. But folks, that's what you have to do. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Am I going to please the Lord? Am I going to please Him today? And you know what? If you do that, you'll be like a tree, verse 3, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to have hope in eternity and hope of your salvation? Do you want to be assured of that? Do you want to be an element of light to your family, a guide to them. Let that be your process. The ungodly, though, are not so. Some of you are here maybe today. I'm not going to ask you who you are, but you know who you are if you are. Verse 4. The ungodly, they don't know this, what I'm talking about. They don't understand that. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And so, they're not the grain, but they're the chaff. And the wind, when it's thrown up, then the wind is driven and they blow away quickly. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know what that means? That means there's going to be a separation. There's going to be an alienation. I know you're pretty good people. I know you're a pretty good person. But the way you're going is uncertain. Do you know that deep within yourself? Think about it. And then the Bible says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know something? You say, "Larry, I'm doing as good as I can. I'm trying with all my heart. I plan to be at the services today, and I'm going to live for the Lord. I try to do that every day of my life. Yeah, I've got a business, and I've got a profession, and I've got a job to do, and I've got a family to take care of, and I understand all those things you said." Well, you know what? Look at verse 6, first line. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." He knows that. He knows that of you. He certainly does. And I think that's a beautiful thought. I think that's a lovely thought. You say, "Yes, Larry, I do mess up." Well, so does Larry. So does Larry. And he knows the way of the righteous. But you know what is fearful? The way of the ungodly shall perish. You keep living that way, the way of the ungodly, and that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to perish. Now, we turn the story back to where we began. Mary's living a normal life. Engaged to this nice guy named Joseph. Things are looking really great. But now a whole lot of trial and trouble is coming. "You mean I'm going to be pregnant? I'm going to have a child and not married? Oh my, that's embarrassing. That's a shame." But then she just says, "Well, be it unto me according to thy word. If it's got to be, it's got to be. I'm going to live it. I know it'll be embarrassing. I know it'll be troublesome. But I'm going to let the Lord take over and I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do His will." Do you have that attitude today? Do you have that disposition today? What some of you don't know is that you've had that disposition for a long time. But you've lived in some uncertainties and some things of doubt and some things that you're not certain about. You're not sure about. My friend, listen to me. You just know what God's will is. You know how that you're to act. How you're to react. How do you respond? And serving the Lord today is the best way to begin. You know what His will is. Part of it you're doing right now by even being here and by hearing the gospel. You know what your responsibilities are as a husband, as a father. You know what your responsibilities are as a wife and a mother. As an older person who maybe has lived a life, maybe without God. Or has lived a life and said, "I've seen some sorrows. I'm a widow now or a widower now. And life is not what it used to be." Who knows that? The Lord does. He knows the way of the righteous. And when Mary saw all that was coming, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." When Peter was requested to do something he knew was futile, no way he's going to catch a bunch of fish. This is stupid. I'm a professional fisherman. You know what he said? "Nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word." Abraham, Sarah, no, it's not going to happen. Nevertheless, what'd they say? That's what they said too, wasn't it? "Be it unto me according to thy word." And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we're facing a great day of teaching, relationship, and a fellowship in the gospel. And it can be a great day in your life, not because it's going to be a good picnic, good association, good friendship, but because you are open to the truth like you've never been open to it before. You're thinking about the way of righteousness, and you're going to live it today. And you're going to start living it today amidst all the doubts and all the fears. Well, thank you for your attention right now. And we'll have some more a little bit later.